This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be hot, but it's beautiful. When the sun's out, it's beautiful.
Well, you know, it sure beats, I don't know if I could ever live in one of those parts of the country that it's like cloudy and rainy all the time. You know, like they say, like Seattle, it rains all the time. They say in like London, it rains all the time, and it just gets really depressing. So we need to see some big sunshine.
That's right. And we've had a lot of rain this year. Well, it's been one of the rainiest spring and summers I remember.
It's been kind of weird.
Then the sun comes out and it gets okay, and I'm all for it. And we've had less tornadoes this year than ever before.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, we just haven't had as many this year.
Wow.
So, yeah. But we had some nice rainy nights,
mm-hmm.
You know, a little stormy. But we needed all that water. We got it. And now it's hot again.
Yeah, and it's nice when you have rain at night. It's nice sleeping weather.
It is. It's very nice. And the llamas like it. They didn't have an objection.
Of course not. They seem to go with the flow no matter what's happening.
They're so nice. They just go with the flow. You know, and some nights they'll go in the barn. Some nights they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's hard to figure it out, what they're thinking.
Yeah.
And, of course... But we're the same way. You know how our mentality is.
Yeah.
We love the rain. A lot of people go out in the rain just to smell it. Rain always smells good.
It does. And then you have that. If it's a nice, steady rain, maybe even a little roll of thunder off in the distance, boy, that'll put you in a sleepy trance right there. Woo.
That's right. And, of course, when it gets right overhead, you know, it gets a little exciting.
Yeah. That's one way to describe a thunderstorm, is exciting.
It gets a little exciting around here. But other than that, it's a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day. And, you know, I'm all ready to do what I do nowadays, which is it's not going to the donut shop. It's not going to the restaurant. I mean, you know, all that's cut out.
Well,
so it's a different time, isn't it?
Well, pretty soon we won't have any donut shops left. We won't have any restaurants left.
That's what I'm afraid of. They're closing a lot of the IHOPs. They're closing Brooks Brothers. Let's see, a lot of the Wendy's are closing. Let's see, who else have I missed? There's just so many restaurants that are closing for good. It's scary.
I know it. And then
I'm glad we never did invest in restaurants.
Well, yeah, that's a that's a blessing right there. And people franchised, those are in trouble.
Yeah, and people told me years ago, Faye, a restaurant is the worst investment in the world because only a small percent make it.
Yeah.
And these were all doing so good. And then every time they reopened, one of their employees came down with this virus and they had to close again.
Mm-mm-mm.
So that a lot of them, that took care of it. It was the final straw.
Yeah, you could just never seem to get your legs among you when, you know, you try to move forward and then something happens and then you go backwards and then you try to go forwards and then you go backwards again. You can't sustain like that for very long.
And, of course, the big box stores, you know, so many of those are closing, like Penny's and Pier 1 Imports, which that was my favorite.
Yeah.
Bed Bath & Beyond is still in business.
For now.
But for now. But they're taking so many places out that we won't have a lot of choices when this is over.
I know it. There won't be any place left to go.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
I mean, and, of course, they closed all the waterways last weekend. And I gather the zoos are closed. but the big one, State Fair of Texas, will not open this year.
I saw that. And then when I saw the
Fair.
The article, they had big text on there. And I said, well, what are we going to talk about now at fair time? We always talk about this, and now it's not happening.
We always talk about it. What we're going to talk about, the bad thing is Fletcher's Corny Dogs. They sell 600,000 corny dogs at the fair.
That's a big maker.
They said this is taking their business all the way down. They said, this is our big deal for the year. It's a state fair.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, man, you're the first person I thought of.
Well, yeah. As soon as I read it, I'm going, oh, my gosh. Because all these vendors, that's how they make a living, is a state fair. And then you've got all these ladies that have worked on their preserves all year. They've worked on their candies, their pies, their quilts. The kids have got their lambs ready, their steers. You know, all that is shown at the fair, and all that's over.
Wow.
So it affects everybody.
I know. And now, you know, when we start talking about it, we start drilling down, you know, even just the fair vendors, it's just like, man, this is even further than we thought. You know, I know a couple of weeks ago and a couple of months ago, you know, when we were talking about businesses, we didn't even think about, you know, businesses that thrive at the fair. And this is, they count on this for their big moneymaker for the year. But now it's just like, oh, man, here's another layer that's affected. What a shame.
Yeah, and the fair, it also affects the school children of Texas. Mm. All the little kids always get one day off to go to the fair. And the buses roll, and they go to the fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a big deal. The new car dealerships, they show their new cars at the fair.
Yeah.
Anybody that's got something new, they get an invitation to the fair to show their product.
Mm-hmm.
So all that's over.
I know it.
And every year the fair has new food, as you know. They have something wild and extravagant every year. So this year, all that's out. Whoever's worked on that all year, that isn't going to happen.
Yeah. And you're right. You know, they do work on these things. Like, literally, from the end of the fair one year, they work on it until the opening of the fair the next year. And so it's literally a year-long process. All of it, you know, all that time, all that effort, all that money, gone. Any supplies they had to buy, gone.
Oh, yeah, and they've worked so hard to get ready. It takes a year to get ready for the fair.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's a shame. I mean, who would have thought that this thing was going to come and destroy half of the businesses in America?
Exactly. Yeah, and then you got other businesses that got help that didn't need it. You were talking about, what was it, Dr. Phil? His place, his, I don't know, was
yeah,
it him?
He had $7 million. And he makes millions a year. He couldn't have possibly needed $1.
No, no. And so then you've got, like, all the production people that are on the set that needed something. And I don't know their situation. I don't know if, you know, he did anything for them behind the scenes or what. From what it sounds like, maybe not. But, you know, you've got all the kinds of situations where, you know, things got a little bit lopsided in the wrong direction. The people that actually needed it didn't get it, and those that didn't need it took it.
Well, and law firms took it just because it was available.
Yeah.
And you know the law firms didn't need it. They make more money than anybody in the world.
Yeah.
I'll get calls on that.
Yeah. yeah, you'll get calls and a letter.
The truth. I mean, I know what some of these law firms make. Every once in a while it'll come out in the Dallas Morning News. Well, this one made $25 million this year. This one made $23
million. Oh, my.
I mean, millions. It's not $500,000 or $100,000. It's millions and millions.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. So, and for them to take that money just isn't right.
Exactly.
And there was a lot of people took it that didn't need it.
Yeah.
And a few of them gave it back when it hit the papers, but not many.
And didn't you say at one point that there's still a bunch in the pot that
yeah,
people have not claimed?
I read that there's a whole lot of money that nobody ever took. There's still money there that nobody ever took.
Huh.
And the only ones that gave it back is ones that made the paper and shamed them into taking it and giving it back.
Otherwise, they'd
the
have
rest
kept
of
it.
Them just took it and laughed.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. They took it and laughed. Mm-mm.
Yeah, and you know, somebody asked me, "Faye, are you going to take some of that money?" I said, "Why would I do that?" They said, "Well, we pay a lot of taxes. That has nothing to do with it.
So they're trying to justify crime.
They were justifying taking the money. Said, well, we pay a lot of taxes. We might as well take it and get something back.
There you go. Justifying a life of crime. There you go. You're going to live
life
on the run.
Take that money, whether you need it or not, just because it's a handout.
Yeah, take it and go to Brazil.
Yeah, that's it. They probably went somewhere and had a nice time.
Yeah, they probably did. Went on vacation, I'm sure. Maybe bought a house, a car, something, a boat.
Oh, yeah. And some of the crooks that got it really did.
Yeah.
I read in the paper, they bought all these cars, vacation homes, all this, until they caught them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they said, you've got to give it all back. You don't even have any employees.
Yeah. Boy.
Yeah, the guy said he had $2.8 million payroll.
Really?
And had no employees. Hadn't had for 3 or 4 years. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. It's going to take a long
time. So much fun.
I know, right? It's going to take forever to clean that up, sort through it.
Yeah, it's going to take a while to clean up all the mess they've made. And then they sent $1 billion to people that were dead. Now, that shows you the efficiency of the government.
Did they really? I didn't even see that.
Oh, yeah. They sent all this money to dead people. And now the people are trying to return it. They said, and it isn't easy. Yeah.
Wow.
They sent it to all these dead people. Didn't even verify they were alive.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Wow. Wow.
Now, if you and I did that, we'd be fired.
Yeah. We would have a big problem.
If we sent money to dead people.
Yeah. That's not going to go over very well.
It would not go over well at all. And we'd be caught instantly. But the government, oh, well, we're trying to get the money back. You know, no big deal, just $1 billion here, $1 billion there.
It's fine. Million, billion, what's the difference?
That's right. If you add enough zeros, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just keep adding them.
Oh, boy. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com, and people can go to the website, learn a little bit more about investments, see the kind of money that people are making, read testimonials, find out how the program works. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, with so many with so many businesses affected by the wonderful picture we just painted, you know, there's a lot of people looking for alternative ways to make money. Some people are in difficult situations, and they're looking for better opportunities, preferably not a life of crime. So really, the next best thing that you're finding is really conservative investments. And when people invest in a life insurance policy, it seems like it checks off all the boxes as far as, you know, conservative, you're going to get paid. It's just really a waiting game, short returns. It looks like it's got everything, right?
It does. And you know what is shocking to me is we've had several bankers put their money with us lately.
Really?
You know, we've always had doctors, engineers, oil field people, mechanics, you know, people on their own mechanic place, all these. But now we're getting the bankers.
Wow.
Because over at the bank, they're not making a dime.
Mm.
So several bankers have come to us lately, put their money with us. And they had relatives that have had money with us for years, but they never had. And so now they're coming over, and I'm laughing. You know, they don't want to get the CD money at the bank. They'd rather get, you know, a higher return with us.
Yeah, that's a pretty big testament to know that.
It is, and they didn't want to go in the stock market at this late age. Mm-hmm. They're in their 50s, so they did not want to go into the stock market, so they came to us. And I was thinking and laughing about it. I said, you know, CDs are so bad, the bankers are coming. That tells you something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty clear signal right there that you know, it's almost like, and it's not directly, and so this is an exaggeration, but it's almost interesting when you see the competition coming on board, you know?
That's right. And, you know, we've had some bankers from several of the great big banks for years.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first one of those, it was a lady that was an officer at one of the banks out here. And she came over several years ago and put her money with us.
Really?
Uh-huh. And I just now thought about her. So she was really the first one out of, you know, as an officer of one of the banks that came to us and said, you know, I'm not making any money at the bank. I'd like to put my money with you. And she did. But then, you know, we have a lot of diverse people in it. But now, as I said, the bankers are coming. And they're wanting to get their money to a better place.
Yeah, I don't blame them. Do you find that that people maybe have money in the bank and they're just letting it sit there because they think it's safer? They'd rather just hunker down and just kind of like wait for it to pass and not doing anything
else? We have another good customer that just put some extra money with us, and she's as her CDs are coming due, she's putting those with us.
Oh.
She's got these CDs, they're not paying anything, and she's waiting until they mature to at least get that money, and then she's putting each one of those CDs with us.
Mm. Good thinking.
So, you know, people are getting out of CDs and coming to us because they're not making anything.
Are people getting out of the stock market, or do you find a lot of people are still trying to just beat a dead horse, so to speak?
Well, I can't tell you what business it is. But an unusual business came to us this week. And they said, you know, we're not even making 2%. And it's like a charity type deal. And they handle a lot of money. And so they're going to put that money with us. So, you know, it's amazing right now the types of businesses and the types of people that are asking, you know, if they can put their money with us. And it's different than what I'm used to.
It kind of seems like a lot of people, it sounds like you're seeing an influx of people who may not have even considered investing in a life insurance policy, maybe making that leap, because we always assume, you know, we always kind of, you know, talk about Wall Street and, you know, the stocks and things like that. And we're usually kind of referring to just, you know, regular investors. But it sounds like people from all kinds of different areas are coming over for a better investment opportunity.
This is exactly right. People that we would have never thought about, you know, investing with us. As I said, we've had several unusual ones lately. And people that I would have never guessed, you know. So it's interesting. The people are wanting to make some money. They're not making any money where they are, and they don't want to go in the stock market. And a lot of them, I think, are prohibited by their bylaws if they're a charitable organization from getting into stocks. I think they're not supposed to do that kind of risk.
Mm.
So these people are coming over, and, you know, we gave them choices. You know, they could do annuities, they could do life settlements, but they picked life settlements. And so we're going to be helping them with that.
So what are people saying? Are they just saying, you know, we haven't been making any money the way we were? Or are they saying more like, you know, we've done nothing and it's time to start? Where are they?
Well, what they said in their notes to me, we'd like to make a little more money. I mean, they're not making hardly anything now. You know, that 1% is just not going to get it.
Yeah.
And they said, we'd like to make a little more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had me explain the whole thing to them. I had to talk to different people in that company. And I, you know, explained it to this one, to that one, and all this. And then they came back and said, yes, we'd like for you to handle this for us. So we've got some real unusual things going on. People, as I said, coming to us for the first time that were just in CDs. I mean, we've had a lot of people. That's where they're coming from right now. The banker, he was in CDs. The lady that's adding to her account right now, these are CDs that are coming due. Then this other company, that's all CDs. So these are all CD people that are coming right now, you know, to put money with us for the first time.
Wow. It's kind of neat to, you know, when we kind of go into these things, we talk about, okay, this is probably going to happen. This is probably going to happen. And a lot of that does, you know, trends show that when things get a little bit unstable, people start looking for other things. It's neat though, to see that people, I guess, just kind of, and I know some people are in CDs and things like that, and everybody's situation is different, but it's neat to see that people are actually open to new opportunities and actually like seriously looking for better investments that that will actually make money. It kind of just, I guess, shows that things really are very, very serious. And if people are wanting to, you know, grow their wealth in a time like this that's so unstable, they actually can. And so this is a good way to do it, is through life settlements.
Yeah, right. And these, as I said, you know, when a bank officer comes over, you know that they've looked around. You know, they've looked at other investments, and then they come to us because we pay just a little bit more, and that's what they're interested in.
Do they like the fact that they pay a little bit more? Do they also like the fact that it is, because I'm just guessing here, but I would imagine probably they also like the fact that there are quicker turnarounds. You don't have to put it in and wait for 20 or 30 years. And they have to like the fact that, you know, the source of the money when the policy matures and it pays out is going to be there. It's nice and secure. I mean, I would think all these things are big points with people.
I think they are. And as I said, this banker that's coming to us, he's known us for several years, and a lot of his relatives are with us, and he knows the kind of money they've made. So I think that is part of it. You know, he's been intending to do it for several years, and he finally, you know, has done it. And we've got several people like that. We've got the new client from California that is in Midland all the time, but he doesn't actually live here. And he has friends that are with us that have made some money. And, of course, they've told him about it. So he's now saying, okay, I want to do this. So we've now signed him up and got him in his first policy.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yes, I think so. And he's never done it before. And so he's excited about coming on board and making some money. And again, he was in the stock market. He took this money out of the stock market to do this.
So as people have been investing, and I know we talk about like a trigger event is sometimes what it takes for people to go ahead and make a change for the better. I also understand it can be a little bit scary. Anytime somebody does something new that's outside their comfort zone, even if it's to better a situation, anytime you get into something new, people get a little bit nervous. And I would imagine, you know, it's not like, man, I want to try a new restaurant, but I don't know if we're going to like it. We don't want to waste a night out or a date night on something that might be terrible. That's one thing. Those are small potatoes. But when we're talking about a lot of money at stake, do people find it a little harder to change, even if it is for the better? What do people say?
Well, I don't know. I think that what they say to me is, you know, I'm tired of it the way it is. I want to improve my situation. I'd like to make a little more money. Mm-hmm. And some of them say I would need to make a lot more. And then some people saying, you know, I'm getting closer to retirement. I need to make a change.
Okay. So people should know going in that, you know, yes, this is different than the stock market. A life insurance policy is a very different investment than you'll find on Wall Street. You know, we all know Wall Street can go up and down, a lot more down than lately than what we're used
down,
to.
Yes.
But, you know, this is a totally different investment. What do you think is the biggest asset about doing a life settlement as opposed to something else?
Well, to me, I think it's in a life insurance policy. It's safer than a lot of other investments because you know you're going to get your principal and interest. You know that it's just you're going to get the difference between what we paid for that life policy and what the face amount is. That makes it a safer investment rather than rolling the dice on a stock.
And
so that makes it a lot safer for people.
people should also know, because I love when you get into, you know, talking about how the insurance companies have all these resources and all this reserves on hand. Talk about that for just a minute, because it's a really big deal. As long as we're talking about security of, you know, making sure the money's going to be there when the policy matures, this is a really big deal. They have to have a lot of reserves on hand, right? Life insurance companies.
They have to have millions and millions on reserve to pay for policies, and they do. They could pay you know, $1 billion out in one day if they ever had to. Of course, they don't. But they keep, on every policy they write, there's a certain amount of cash that's got to be put up against that. In other words, if you put $1 million in a policy and buy it, they're saying, okay, we've got to put up, and I don't remember how much it is. I'll have to look it up. But maybe it's $300,000 or $200,000 in cash against that. They have to put up a reserve on every policy they write.
So what if somebody says, okay, that's cool, but what if, say, the stock market crashes tomorrow? What happens to all those reserves? What happens
to
that
money? Has to be safe. It can't be just in the stock market like other. They didn't have a lot of money in the stock market as long as it's in the holding company. But they have to have in cash a certain amount at all times.
I would think that's a really, really big deal with people because, you know, yeah, the money's going to be there. The other thing that I'm sure people can't get used to at the beginning, and this is a good thing, is that the fact that they don't have to be up all night worrying about what's in their portfolio. Did they lose, you know, everything? Has their entire assets dropped 50% overnight? You know, you never know that when you're in the stock market, but with a life settlement, literally, people can set it and forget it. They don't have to get up all the time and check their portfolio, right?
That's exactly right. You sit back, going about your business, and then we send you an email and say, okay, that policy's matured. And then some people even get antsy then. They've retired, they don't have anything else to do, and they're sending emails. Well, where are we at on that policy? Well, it takes 6 to 8 weeks is what it takes. And like we've got two that's coming into the bank this week. That people are in. But we process it just as fast as possible. We get the death certificate. We send it to the carrier with our package. They pay within usually 12 days. We've never had any problem with them. Even during this pandemic, you know, the insurance companies have people working, thank goodness.
What do you... go ahead.
So, you know, they handle it. We get the money in their account, they're paid, and we do it again.
Do people say, you know, things like, you know, golly, Faye, you know, I'm going to come in and I want to be in a life insurance policy and then I'm going to be ready to retire? Do they know that this is a part of a strategy? It's not like you invest in one, you're going to hit the big one, you know, and then all of a sudden you're going to have like billions of dollars and retire overnight. Do they understand that it's still part of a process that people go through? It's a strategy to get ready for retirement or just grow your wealth in general.
They understand that it's a process. It takes time. It takes 7 or 8 years unless you're putting in a lot of money. If you're going to start with $500,000 or $1 million, it's going to take as long. But if you're starting with $200,000, $250,000, you know, it's going to take a good length of time. As I said, you know, we have people that are getting all kinds of interest every year, and we talk about the one that's getting the most, and then people always say, I'm not getting that much. But we have a lot of people. Our client named Rick, I won't say his last name, he's the one that wants to get up to 30 policies. He has a lot. He's made a lot. He's been with us. I think Rick has been with us from the very start. He's been with us a long time. Him and his dad invested together with us for a long time. His dad passed away. His sisters now invest with him. And he's done very, very well. But again, he had a lot of policies. He invests on a regular basis. He very seldom says no to a policy. Usually he knows what he likes, and we send him those policies to look at. He says yes. If he's run out of money, he'll say, I'll transfer more money to my account. Go ahead and do it. And we have a lot of people that way. They just simply transfer money if they are out of money in their account, and we go on and do the policy.
And this fellow wants to get up to 30 policies? That's a lot.
He wants to have 30 policies, folks. Rick is the one that has lost all the weight that we bragged on so much.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Okay, I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah. He had a real problem. He let himself balloon up over the years. And then one day he just said, this has to stop.
Yeah.
And he went out to California and stayed months and lost all this weight.
Wow. What is an inspirational story. Wow, cool.
Yeah, it's a very inspirational story. And he's done really well. He's done well in life. I remember when he started out with us, he wasn't wealthy. He didn't have a lot. And now he is wealthy, by the way.
Wow, yeah. I would imagine with if he's got that many policies and has been doing this from the start, I would imagine he's doing very, very well now. What's an average amount of policies that people should be in or that most people are?
Well, to start with, I've got a lot of people who have maybe 6 or 7. I've got a lot of people who've got 10, 15, you know, and it all depends. They may start out not have very many, but increases over the time, you know.
So
we have a lot of people that have probably 20 policies.
Kind of going into it, and I know it's always different. You know, everybody's situation is unique. But going in, give people some kind of an idea, because if somebody's never done this before, they don't know necessarily, you know, where a good starting point is, where an average is. What should people expect to bring to the table, and how many policies would they be able to get into and when? Just kind of like paint a picture of a general starting point.
Well, a general starting point, they've got to have at least 100,000.
Okay.
You know, and that'll get you 2 policies, or, you know, you can do one. We don't like for anybody to do just 1 policy. I'd rather, if they've only got 100,000, I'd rather do 2. We have a lot of people that come, maybe they bring $700,000 to us. Well, you can do a lot of policies with 700,000. And we've got several people lately that have brought 700,000. So, they're in a lot of policies, and that's another thing. As their money increases, they'll be in even more, you know, if they take their profit and put it back in other policies, and most people do, because most of our accounts, as you know, are IRAs. Well, as you said lately, all these people are not IRA holders, but we do have a lot of people that do have IRAs, so they're also not paying tax on this as we reinvest it. And they won't be paying taxes, you know, till they're 70 and a half.
Yeah,
and then we've got the people that do pay taxes, and as they come due, they pay their taxes and then reinvest.
You know, it's important to, as far as the strategy of how to execute something like this, because you're right. You know, people don't need to be paying unnecessary taxes. It just means that, you know, they're cutting into their own profits. So you got to be smart about it. You roll, you invest, you roll, you invest, and that's how it keeps going. And then that's, I guess, that helps increase people's earning potential. Am I saying that the right way? It doesn't sound right.
Yes. And you know, every time you have a policy that matures, you go in another one, and you're just increasing your income as you do this. You know, every time you make a profit, and it may be a 24-month policy, it may be a 30-month, or it may be a 12-month. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done a lot of 12 and 18 months lately.
How long of a journey is this for people to do the investment, to get to a place? And I guess before you even answer that, a follow-up is when people do this, do they say, okay, at this point, you know, I've been investing for, I don't know, say 5 years, 7 years, whatever it is, I'm at a place where I'm comfortable with retirement, but I'm going to keep going because this is working so well. Do you find a lot of that as well?
We have a lot of that. We have a lot of people that have been with us from the start. They've already retired 2 years ago. We're still going. We're still building on their account. I've got several people that retired early, and they've done very well with us. And so it's working. And then I've got people that have got some old policies. We're still trying to get rid of those 2 or 3 old policies we did in 13. And once they're rid of those, then it will be high sailing. It'll really be great after that. And it's great now, but it will be better not to have that one old policy that they may be in hanging over them, okay?
Yeah, free and clear of that.
Yeah, and once that, then their potential is even greater than it is now. But we've made money on everything else. Everything else is making money. We just need to finish up those policies that people told us those old people were going to pass away, which they did not.
All right. Well, we'll get into
it. But the others, it's working good.
Yeah, I would. You know, and that's the other thing. You know, you talk about all these people that have been doing this, and it's working good. And I think the proof is in the pudding. You know, when people go to the website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com, and they see the actual money that people have been making, they read the testimonials. I mean, it's just a glowing testament as far as, you know, hey, you know, anybody that's been doing this for 15 years by choice, or even 10 years, or even 5 years, whatever the case is, people who do this by choice and keep doing it, that says a lot. And you also kind of hinted a little bit earlier that there were a couple of family members that were in policies. You know, that one gentleman, I think it was Rick, he started out investing with his dad, and then other people have come into it. And it's a really big deal when people will personally vouch for any kind of a situation, especially like this where there's so much money involved, personally vouch for how well it works, because friendships and relationships could be on the line, but people do it all the time. They talk about how great this is.
And remember, since January, we've had over $9 million mature back to clients, over
wow.
$9
million. Wow.
First quarter of the year, which is really good, I think, to return that much money to clients.
That's huge.
We also have, we're talking about families. I have one family that it's the mother who's in her 80s, and then her sons. And they've been with us quite a while. And they're in business, and that's always interesting. And we've got so many people that have invested either with their mother or their father, and they do all this investing together.
Mm. That's a really big deal. You know,
it is, because it's a family business. You know, ours is a family-owned business, family-run, and other people, all of theirs is family-owned. We don't have anybody that's, got a big public company or anything. Everybody is family-owned mm-hmm. that we do business with.
You know, and I know a lot of times people will try to do business, you know, with good, honest people. Most people, you know, want to find good, honest business people to work with. And that's fine. You know, if you're talking about, you know, maybe, you know, somebody goes to the same barber for like the last 40 years and they keep going there. Well, you know, he's a good guy, you know, and we're only talking about, you know, like a haircut, something like that. But when we're talking about big chunks of money, when we're talking about people's literally their entire life's nest egg and growing for retirement and growing wealth, people get very, very, sensitive, very protective of their money. And so you don't mess with something, especially when you're talking about a couple of $100,000. You take that a little bit more seriously than just, you know, who is your barber going to be, you know? So it's one thing to talk about doing great business with great people like yourself. It's another thing when it actually works and people actually make a ton of money. You get almost like the best of both worlds.
That's right. I think so. And it's more conservative than the stock market, especially in these trying times. A lot of people are getting out of the stock market. People have brought us quite a bit of money from the stock market because they don't want to get left holding the bag in case things go. Because some people say it could get as bad as 2008.
Really?
And if that happens, you've got to be ready. You don't want to, at the last minute, say, oh, my gosh, let's rush over there and get our money out of the stock market, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So lots of times people will come over. They say, well, for right now, I'm going to put $200,000. Or I'm going to just put $3,000, or whatever it is. And then later, they start putting in more. As I said, we've had a lot of our customers come in the last 2 or 3 weeks and say, here's another 100, here's another 100, here's 25,000, because they know it works. If it didn't work, they wouldn't be adding to their account all the time.
Yeah, exactly. They would have bailed out years ago.
Oh, yeah. They would have said, well, I don't like it. It's not for me. But they do like it. They're making money and they're happy.
Awesome. Well, we'll talk about how people can actually make money from life insurance policies. It's exactly what it sounds like, life insurance policies. There's no play on words here. So we'll talk about how that becomes so profitable for people here in just a minute. But for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
You won't believe it. We're going to talk about horny toads.
I would have never guessed. Ever.
Oh, my gosh. Would you have thought that we would be bringing up horny toads on a Saturday morning?
No, I could have had a million guesses, and that wouldn't have been one of them.
That wouldn't have been it. Well, it came to my attention this week, and it's just, to me, it's a little bit funny. I did not know that horny toads were becoming endangered in Texas. We just don't have enough of them because pesticide and urban life and fire ants, not enough fire ants for them to eat, and it was just killing off the horny toads. So along comes the Fort Worth Zoo, the state of Texas, and TCU. Huh. And they said, we have got to make some horny toads. I mean, it's just too funny for me. So they start breeding horny toads in captivity. Do you believe this?
No.
And so in April, they were breeding these in 2018 at the zoo, Fort Worth Zoo. So they take these little tiny horny toads out and release them into the wild. It's just more than I can handle. And they went to see if they had made it through the winter and into spring. And the zoo's curator said, oh, my gosh, we were jazzed. We found 132 of them had survived.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. So the Texas Parks and Wildlife and TCU and other zoos, they have pioneered the care and breeding for wild-caught horny toads. Do you believe this?
Oh, wow. I can honestly say that you said a lot of things in the last 3 minutes that I never thought I'd hear you say.
Oh, I didn't think so either. I didn't think that people would spend their money to make little horny toads and put them back out in the wild. Now, who in the world thought this thing up? It's just more than I can believe.
You know, you start to wonder if maybe they were sitting around in the cafeteria one day and somebody said something as a joke, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, let's actually do this. It's so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, when this lady says, the curator of the forest, that we were jazzed.
Yeah.
I'm going, oh, my gosh, I can't handle this. Yeah, the Texas Parks and Wildlife said, you know, we have got to do this. We've got to get these horny toads because there's just not enough of them.
Wow.
So they're taking them out and putting them out and then going back months later to see if they survived.
Wow.
So, yeah. So and then they say, well, we want to see if it has an existing population. And then they've got to find some for their breeding program. They're out there trying to find some for their breeding program.
This is a real thing.
This is a real thing. And they focused on southern populations of horny toads.
Really?
And then they've got similar projects at the Fort Worth and the Dallas Zoo for the northern populations. Do you believe this?
If I didn't know you any better, I'd say you were making all this up.
Let me tell you something. Then they have a lizard factory and a hatchling factory and a climate control laboratory.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. And they're going to release 100 lizards a year. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
People in West Texas, I'm telling you, this is too much even for me. And the San Miguel Electric Cooperation, they donated $10,000 for the project.
You're kidding me. Are you serious?
Yes. And they're looking for locations for potentially affected species. And then Kennedy, Texas, is the horned lizard capital of Texas.
No, I didn't even know there was one.
Oh, yeah. And they host scientists from TCU, and they do DNA studies on horned toads in Karnes County. The story goes The future looks bright for the Texas horny toad.
Oh, thank goodness. I was worried for a while.
Oh, yeah. And they're training dogs to sniff out horny toads in the field.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm telling you. I just don't know about that. You know, Texans, I thought I had enough to do and enough on their plate to keep them busy.
Apparently not.
So I read this, and I go, oh, my gosh. Now then we're breeding horny toads in captivity and putting 130 out to see if they'll survive. Oh,
wow.
My gosh.
Who knew this was even a thing? When I got up this morning, I never thought that
you
horny toads.
You never thought I was going to talk about horny toads, did you?
And releasing lizards into the wild.
Into the wild. And you've got the zoos are all participating. What's so scary?
Wow.
And TCU, a very reputable college, is right in the middle of it.
Wow. You know, I can see some people wanting to get on the bandwagon and take up a worthwhile cause, but to have so many people jump on board, that's crazy.
It's crazy. Going out here and scratching in the dirt to see if the horny toad survived. You know, I mean, little lizards have been running around Texas as long as there's been a Texas.
Wow.
And now then they're concerned we don't have enough of them. It's just too much, folks.
You've been worried about this for a long time, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I've been worried about this at least 30 minutes. You know, as to what
minutes.
In the heck is going to happen. I can think of so many things we could go out here and research that might make a difference to Texans, but I don't think the horny toads are going to make a difference. Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
And, of course, they said, you know, they don't make good pets. Well, we all know that. We know you can pick up one, but you're going to put it back down in just about a minute.
We needed somebody to actually say that they don't make good pets.
It says that in the article. It says they don't make good pets.
Which means that somebody has somewhere along the way tried and it didn't work out well.
Oh, yeah. Well, they won't survive, in cooped up. They've got to have ants. They've got to have all kinds of stuff that are outdoors.
Yeah.
But now, who do you think found out that we didn't have enough of them? That's what I want to know. That's my story angle.
Yeah.
Who found out that we didn't have enough horny toads in Texas? Were they out here counting them?
I don't know.
I just see them trying to count the horny toads.
How do they even know? I mean, I have no idea where that
I
even...
I have no idea. Who thought this up? Some bird brain said, you know, let's go out here and count how many horny toads. Uh-oh, we didn't find enough. We've got to go start a breeding program at the zoo for horny toads.
And get funding and people donate. And
oh, yeah, they're going to donate all this money to poor horny toads.
Yeah. You know, we could have sat around and thought about business ideas all day long, and this would not have been one of them.
I would never have come up with the horny toads, you know, for a project. I wouldn't have given anybody $10,000 for horny toads either.
No, you'd have laughed him out of the out of the building. Said, "Get out of here."
I would. I just said, "This is too funny for me." You know, I just don't understand it. Oh my gosh. Horny toads of Texas. I want everybody to know about that in case somebody knocks on the door and says, You need to give to the horny toads of Texas.
Part of me says it's so ridiculous. If that was to happen, you'd almost have to believe them. But then you
well,
say...
Well, we'd laugh them out of the room. I mean, it'd just be too much. And now they're teaching the dogs to sniff out and find them.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. They don't have anything to do with their life, I'm telling you.
Is this like literally, is this like all they do, or is this like a side project, or is this like the whole main focus?
Oh, it sounds like they're serious. They're dead serious. It's called the Lizard Brigade.
Oh, it's it has a name and everything.
Hey, oh, yeah, the Lizard Brigade. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I guess there's... There's an opportunity to branch off into a field maybe you didn't think of before.
Yeah, and they've been working on this since 2000.
Are you planning on getting involved
in
this?
And they got the zoos up and doing it.
Wow.
And, you know, they're working to reverse the number of them. You know, I mean, how the heck did they find out we didn't have enough? That's what I want to know. I mean...
and to get reputable entities involved like the zoo. Who thinks of that?
Yeah, I mean, Dallas and Fort Worth and Texas Christian is a very reputable university.
Wow.
But the Texas Parks and Wildlife is heading it up with the zoos and with Texas Christian University. Now, they go out and do this, and they're out there in their boots trying to find them. And then, oh, yeah, they survived the winter. Oh, my gosh, you know, they put 132 of them out.
I just can't find where they have a full day's worth of work to do. With this,
can you imagine? They get in their boots, their Jeep, and they go out there and they're searching and searching. I mean, what did they do the day before? It's
what
just
did
too
they
much.
Do the day before? Oh wow!
They spend all the time getting to the sites, you know, bringing them out there, putting them out in the fall. Then they come back in the spring. Let's see how many survive.
It sounds so tedious.
Oh, yeah, I mean, 132 of them that the zoos gave them to send out.
Oh, wow. And what's this, the lizard brigade?
Yes, the lizard brigade. And they said at one time we had 40,000. How do they know we had 40,000 lizards?
These are all very good questions.
We didn't count them. Do you think it's like that government survey, you had to go out and count them?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Boy, things that we just did not know.
This is things we need to know about. If somebody asks you, "Have you given yet to the Lizard Brigade?" when you're laughing them out of the room.
Wow! Talk about fear of missing out. Goodness gracious!
You don't want to miss out on this, and, you know. And they may want you to go out on a deal with them to find them. You may have to give a Saturday to this.
I don't know if I'm ready for that yet.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
I'd like to do a lot of things on Saturday, but that wouldn't be one of them.
That is not one of them, no. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
I don't mean to keep laughing. I just keep picturing, hey, next Saturday I've got some fun activities.
That's right. I mean, the kids would love this. If you tell the kids, we've got to go out and count horny toads, even your 8 and 10-year-olds, if you had one, would be looking at a little suspiciously.
They'd have you put away in a heartbeat.
I think so. Some of these people may need to be after doing this, I can tell you.
And for you to stumble across this, boy, I tell you what, you have some connections in places I didn't even know about.
I couldn't resist. It was just too much.
Oh,
I just
boy.
Couldn't resist.
Oh, how much fun. Okay, so let's talk about the investment a little bit. So when people are looking for investments and they're saying, okay, stock market is just terrible. We know what's been happening there. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. So many people are losing money. What makes a life insurance policy such a profitable investment? How do people make money off life insurance policies?
Okay, when we buy a life insurance policy, we don't pay what the face amount is. We pay less than that for it. So the people are going to make 1% a month. If it's a 24-month policy, they're going to make 24%. If it's a 18-month, they'll make 18%. And if it's 12-month, they'll make 12%. And it doesn't matter if it comes in early, it's still the 24. If it comes in on time, it's 24. If it comes in late, it's going to be less the premiums, whatever the premiums are. So lots of times they come in early, lots of times they come in on time, and sometimes they're late. But you always get your principal and interest back according to your contract. There's no way you could not get it because the life insurance company pays off. Every time someone passes away, the life insurance company sends us a check.
You know, you have to protect the principal. That's so important and so rare.
It's really important. And we put that in their account every time.
So when you say an 18-month, 24-month, 30-month policy, what does that mean? For those who are new, what does that mean when you say those numbers?
Okay. When we get the information on this policy, the doctors send us out all this information. And the doctors say, okay, we think this person's going to live 24 months. And then they give us all the history on that person. How many times they've been in the hospital, what cancer drugs they're on, if they're on radiation. They tell us all about them. And then we make the decision if we want to buy that policy. Then we send it out to the clients and say, we'd like for you to go in this policy that we have just bought. And then the other thing that people don't realize is we don't hire the people that give us the LEs. The LE is from an independent company. We have no say-so about what the doctors say. A guy the other day said, I think you're just faking this. And, of course, you know, that made me see red because we don't have anything to do with that. What we get is what they send us. The doctors send us about that patient. It's all independent. It has to be independent. We don't own that company. We don't tell them what to say. They give us the information off the hospital records.
So nothing is skewed. It's straight up.
No, one way or the other. We have nothing to do with it.
And that is really important, too. And also the types of policies that we're talking about, too. You're not just going out and commandeering somebody's policy someplace and saying, give us this policy. People are selling
it
for certain reasons. And they're very good reasons. They're very valid reasons that they need to sell their life insurance policy. It's because they've been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, right?
That's exactly right. They have stage 4 cancer. And cancer, every kind of cancer is different. You know, we read all about it. We study it. We look things up about the cancer where we'll be as knowledgeable as possible. Then we make the decision whether we want to buy that policy for our clients. If we buy it, we feel like it's a good policy. It's solid, and it'll make them some money. We're here to make them money, first of all, us second. But if they make money, we'll make money. So that's why we try to be very careful about what policies we're putting them in. And, you know, we've been around long enough, we know which policies for us have made our clients the most money. We know, first of all, pancreatic cancer is number one. Stomach cancer is big. Lung cancer is big. And breast cancer is big. And there's other kinds of cancer, prostate cancer. But we have a group of cancers that come due all the time. So we go back and we look at that. And we say, okay, how many of this type of cancer last year and the year before? So we go back and do a study every time to see which ones are paying off first. So yep. That's something we do all the time.
And I know, you know, we're talking about the financial aspect, but there's so many things about investing in a life insurance policy that seem like they're in favor of people who are on both sides of the fence. For one, those who need to sell the policy, we know treatment is very expensive, they get that lump sum of money to go do that. And then on the other side, investors know we all see the numbers, the metrics are there, that stage 4 cancer usually does not last very long. So we're looking at, you know, the policy to mature fairly quickly. What are the three big risks? Because there's a lot of win-wins, but what are the risks?
The biggest risk is the policy could go over. If you're not prepared for that, don't do it. If you can't afford $1,000 or $1,500 or whatever it is, you shouldn't do it. That's why we use all accredited investors. They can afford the risk. They can wait if it's another year or 2 years out. It's not going to affect them. They're still going to get their money. They're still going to always get paid, and they can afford that risk. So you have to be accredited. So you have to make either $200,000 a year, or you have to be worth $1 million without your home. So that's the first thing. The second thing is always remember it's not liquid till it matures. When it matures, it's liquid, and we can roll it over or give you your money, either one. So that's important to know. The third thing is if a life insurance company ever went under, it would take you longer to get your money. And we've never had one go under in Texas. We haven't had one go under in the United States for years because someone would buy it in a heartbeat because of that premium income we talk about so much. Premium income is everything to a life company. That's how they make their money. Is a certain amount of every premium is profit. You know, it's not all going to expenses. A lot of that is profit.
Yeah, pure. There's like very little overhead, so it's money. It's basically free money that's just sitting in accounts.
That's exactly right. So those are your risks. The rewards are greater than the risks. Thank goodness. The rewards are, you know. you're going to make from 12 to 24% on every policy. It's hard to make that anywhere else, and you have a definite amount you're going to get. That's what I love. You know what you're going to make on every policy when we start. Every time you sign up, you know what you're going to make. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you don't have all that uncertainty like in the market. You don't know what you're going to make.
Yeah.
You can make a lot or you can make nothing.
Or lose a
ton. You can actually lose some of your principal.
Yeah.
And this, you cannot lose your principal. It's in a life insurance policy.
Wow. Big, big selling point. I can't believe, you know, how great of an investment this is. And the proof is in the pudding. I mean, I know we got to wrap up here because I just looked at the clock, but time has flown by. But, you know, it's just like, you know, you summarize it right there. And it's just like, man, no wonder so many people are involved in a life settlement. So what about availability? Do you have appointments this coming week? Are you available?
We do. And it'll all be Zoom again. It's working. Zoom works. Once you come to my office, we do Zoom. It's easy. You'll be comfortable with it. And you're going to get used to it because it's a new world out there.
Yeah, it is. All right, Faye, one last time. What is your phone number for people to call and make an appointment?
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.